You have to talk to people. And if that's your local community because you're more comfortable there, that's fine. Get out into your community and start having conversations. But once you've landed your first customer, take that experience, bottle it up in such a way that you could articulate it in a very friendly, non-salesy manner, just to have a conversation like you would with a friend over coffee, and tell the story.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. I'm the host of this wonderful show. I love presenting it for you. And no matter where you are in this wonderful wide world of ours, I hope you're doing wonderfully well. Now, on the line with me today, I have Kathy Karabetsos. How are you, Kathy?
I am fantastic, and thank you so much for having me on today.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Listen, I was just saying earlier to everybody how I was practicing your surname. So I got it right, so I'm very happy with that. That's a wonderful start. Now, I know that you are the CEO of QCSS, and we're going to jump into that in a little while. But before we do that, Kathy, I'd love to talk a little bit about you personally, your background, and how you got to be to where you are today.
Excellent. And I love that question. Thank you so much. Well, I am Kathy Karabetsos. I am, I go big or I go broke. That is my podcast as well. And I started my call center on accident. And this is pretty much anybody in my industry starts it on accident. You just don't wake up one day and say, I want to do telemarketing or call center works. That's something I'm going to do the rest of my life. Not how it works. So going back about three decades, I was actually escorted out of my previous employer's office, and I was fired. I had given my honest opinion on a product selection, and the owner felt that I was disrespecting her, and I was very respectful, just being honest.
Yep.
It was a company I gave 4 years of my life to, and I was 23 years old at the time and had two small children, was obviously married. And I gave 4 years of my life to this company, and she asked for my opinion, called me into a conference room with other people, my peers. I gave it to her. She later on asked me and invited me to her private office, and we had a little bit of a debate. Long story short is she was not happy with me. She escorted me out, or had her team escort me out, and I was let go. And this was a woman I looked up to she had built a $50 million cosmetic company, and I thought she was brilliant in business. On a personal side and maybe a spiritual side, we didn't agree on everything, but that's okay. I really looked up to her, and I came to work every day, and I gave my heart and soul to this company.
Mm-hmm.
So she did me a huge favor. I went out to the parking lot that day. I did not cry, but what I did do is I said, I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do it differently.
Yeah.
I obviously know now from her what not to do and how not to treat an employee. And so I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to have my own call center, and I'm going to train and hire and motivate and respond and love on my people, make sure that they have a voice. Make sure that their opinions matter, and I'm going to change the way that things are done in sales environment. So that's exactly what I set out to do, and within a very short period of time, I had launched my company with my co-founder and partner and friend at the time, Karen Hall, and it's history since then. We basically birthed babies and businesses, and we've been doing it a bootstrap way and built our multi-million dollar organization by giving it our all ever since. So that's kind of my long and short story of how I got to where I am today.
And I appreciate it so very much. Thank you for sharing that little bit of insight with us. Now, I know that having kids of our own, that having a couple is quite enough for us. I can only imagine what it's like to have seven children. Tell us a little bit about that side of your life and how much they must inspire your good work.
Well, thank you so much. And let me start there by saying, there's no perfect world, there's no perfect marriage, and there's no perfect family. But for me and my household and my husband, and I would never be able to do all of this without a man that was completely in support of all the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, he's also my business partner. So we have worked together our entire lives. We decided for ourselves that we didn't want any outside help in terms of raising our children. And he came from a family of, he's one of nine, and I came from a family, I was one of six. So it kind of was in the cards for us. So we wound up having seven children, and we just love our babies, and we do, and we did, and we just wanted to nurture them and grow them and teach them and cuddle them and keep them. And that's what we did. So I went out to maintain our relationship both with ourselves and with our babies and build this business together. And again, I would never be able to do it without my husband and the love of my life and my very best friend.
So may I ask, what was his name?
Tom.
Tom. Thank you so much for sharing it. And hi, Tom, wherever you are, wonderful father you are. Kathy, I'd love to now talk a little bit about the My Future Business audience and what we try to do for them. And then a little bit later on, we can pivot into the outsourcing realm. When we're looking at our business, how do we know when we're just starting out that what we are focusing on is the right thing to be doing at that time? Is there any measurements that you can go by?
Well, I think, first of all, conviction is a big part of it. So we don't necessarily get it right in terms of it's the best time to be in that market or that industry or with that product or that service offering. Mm-hmm. But I didn't look at it that way. You know, when I was just setting out as a young entrepreneur, I knew that inherently I was good at talking with people and nurturing relationships. So in that regard, I loved humans. So interacting with other humans just came naturally to me. Telephone work was very natural to me. So it felt comfortable. I was passionate about it. I was good at it. And so that was like my reaffirmation or a confirmation process that one client at a time, one conversation at a time, I was in the right direction. And I don't know what the other side of that would have looked like if the doors were constantly being closed on me. So I can't talk or speak from not being successful in that.
Yeah.
But what I can say is I think it really is important that you have to have conviction. You have to not work off of fear. And when fear does come in, you just have to push it aside and go through your fear, because we all have that. But if you have ambition and you have fear and you have grit and determination and you have the winning attitude and you're actually taking the actions to make that happen, it really boils down to one thing when you're starting a company. Find one client, serve that client, get the results for that one client, and everything else will fall into place. Never forget the client though. So when you've satisfied that client and you continue to satisfy that client, keep that one eye on that particular client, then go ahead and repeat that and do that with a second client.
Yeah, thank you. I wonder, you know, if we talk about, you know, 1 + 1 + 1, then all of a sudden you have this, an unwritten system that you've created in your business. Is there a point in time that you need to actually, put that down in writing or anything like that?
Well, I think that it does naturally come to time. Everything that I do in my life is actually put down in writing. And I've seen a lot of colleagues not be as successful, maybe starting out in a very similar method after the same target market in my industry, but going after being very brilliant in their own space. And I think something that did differentiate, which is very cool that you brought that up, is I did put everything on paper. So it wasn't that I necessarily had a process, mm-hmm. but when I had an idea, I'm an implementer, I put it on paper and then I implemented it. And if it worked, then I put the next piece on paper and I continued to grow that way. If it didn't work, I checked it off and I figured out a way to either make it work or try something new. But everything that I do always wound up on paper.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's a digital form this year, you know, this way in today's world. But I think if you don't put it on paper as a total checklist of this is my brilliant idea, got to my paper, now I have to roll it out. And whether that's getting outside help or assistance or funding, it doesn't matter. But you can't really roll it out if you don't have it on paper. So start there. I think that's a real important piece.
And, you know, are we talking just about literally on yellow sticky notes, or do you have some sort of software that you use that people could know about, like an Aura or something like that?
It was a good old-fashioned notebook for a very long period of time, and then it just became electronic form for me. So I don't have a set, so to say. I mean, in today's world, I use tools like Google Docs and Drive and that type of thing, but it's really just about something that you know that you use. So to me, I love sticky notes. You hit on that again. I'm a little bit old school that way.
Hand in the air here too.
I think I'm crazy that I still use sticky notes. So I'm still a whiteboard girl with marker and sticky notes and notepads and journals. But I love the writing process, physical writing. But now it's typing, and it could be on a spreadsheet. It doesn't really matter. Just collectively get your ideas to paper.
And you've touched on something there. You know, you've talked about the pen. The power of the pen is so underestimated, isn't it, with regard to taking that initial idea and getting it out there and starting that process.
Absolutely. And, you know, I used to always say I don't have a creative bone in my body because I can't paint. I can't draw a stick figure to save my life. But I do use a pen really, really well. And that's my creativity. Once I draw it, I have my little Kathy signature to it. I create a whole bunch. And that is my gift.
Thank you so much again for sharing. I noticed that you've worked with a lot of massive organizations and, you know, Fortune 500 companies, SaaS companies, which is a big love of mine. I absolutely love software as a service, trade yes. associations, pharma, so many different organizations. Kathy, out of all of those experiences, could you pinpoint one of the most beneficial experiences that you ever had?
Well, I think it's going to go back to the rest of the story that I just shared with you. I was fired from the organization that the reason why I actually entered into the marketplace and industry in the first place. And because of the my journey, my first client was similar in the fragrance and cosmetic industry, where I was all focused on consumer market back then. Yeah. And now it's primarily all B2B. But I think the best experience was 7 years into my designing the company and co-founding it and building off of our first client.
Mm-hmm.
Our second client, when we went the traditional way, we kind of did things backwards. We were known as the pioneers of the virtual call center. We hired other women from home to raise their families from home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally, 7 years later, went to the traditional call center, the second client that we ever took on, because we had such great business with our first client, was indeed the client that fired me. So that was an incredible experience for me and probably one of the most fulfilling, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I wasn't meaning to spin back on the same topic there. And I'm sitting here thinking now, with regard to the outsourcing process and my love of technology, this question of bots and automation, I'm wondering what your take is on that sort of software, given your experience in both these fields of outsourcing and software.
I love it. I think that technology has its place and we want to become more efficient in all the things that we do. I am the sideline girl, though, when it comes to technology, first and foremost, because I don't understand it and somebody needs to tell me which button to push to make it work for me, and then I'm all in. But really, AI to me, and I've studied it for quite a few years now, and when we're vetting out software providers and that type of thing, it's really important that we're always looking at what's the next thing up and coming, and you have to stay savvy in that game. So I've been watching all the digital marketers now for the last several years. AI is going to have its place. There's no question about it. Where and how it fits into the call center, obviously, there's already voice commands and that type of thing. It's not going to take jobs away. And the reason that it's not going to take jobs away is because cold calling isn't dead and humans aren't dead and we buy from humans. So the human interaction is always going to be the top and most desirable format. But AI is going to have its place. So I'm curious to see how it's going to unfold. I've heard lots of talk about how, you know, there's chatbots involved and this with AI. Nothing has really been implemented or rolled out in the call center space as of yet. So we'll see. We'll see how it's going to fit. But I assure you that we'll be implementers once it's the quirks have been worked out
at the pointy end.
We're not going to be the champion. We won't be championing it. We will be the sideline observers for a little bit.
What do they say? The pioneers are often the ones with the arrows in their back.
Exactly right. Yes, it's painful, and that's true though. And so we'll wait a little bit. The costs will come down. Everyone will settle in.
Yeah,
they'll perfect it, and then we'll bring it in.
Now, my future business audience, for the most part, small to medium business sizes, organizations, and they're in those transitional phases where they're now starting to realize, you know, we need extra resources, but we don't necessarily need somebody full time. We're looking to get that voice to help us get more sales, more conversions. When does somebody know, when they're a business owner, small to medium sized business owner, that it's time to look at outsourcing?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of things. When you have cash, that's first and foremost. When you're paying yourself a reasonable salary, you're at the point of, you know, you need to grow. It's probably a scary place. It's a fearful place when you say, okay, do I take $5 out of my pocket to invest in something to grow? And mm-hmm. the answer is yes, you have to do that. I had to do it. I was making a very good income before I decided to be in business myself. And then my partner and I had started the company ourselves, and we were selling our directly ourselves, and then we added other people. So we had to come away and take some of our commission, our money, our earned income out of our own pockets to invest in bringing others on board. And I think when you're at that point where you know you can no longer handle it yourself, and or you want to work in the business or on the business and not in the business, you want to grow something that is compelling enough that eventually you're thinking out 30 years from now, what would my exit strategy look like if I'm the only one working in the company? And so you get to the point where you know it's time and it's scary and you have to make a fearful decision, and you go and you challenge yourself through it. You'll know that it's time to outsource those pieces and, you know, stick with your core competency. So if it's your product or service that you're selling, stick to selling that, but take everything else around you and outsource those pieces and those parts that you can train, just like you would somewhere internally. You can train them to do that as an outsource partner as well. And there's vendors out there that will take great care of you.
Yeah, some truly sage advice for those who are on the call with us today. You've touched on some amazing points. One of them, you know, this fear factor and, you know, that point in time where you'll just know and just, you know, just jump and go for it. What is the process behind, you know, let's use me as a case study. I'm the business owner and I've come to you and I've said, look, I need some help with this, with the call center and that sort of thing. What is the process that I need to go through to create a relationship with somebody like you?
Well, first, I think you need to interview them just like you would anyone else. Call center should have the experience. It should be a professional call center, obviously. You want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody that is legitimate. There's a lot of bad people in our industry, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. You want to make sure they're professional. You want to talk to their clients and their past clients. You want to see what's good, bad, and if there's some not so good, what that is, and can you oversee that? But you really want to find somebody that has experience in your industry.
Yeah.
And it's not exact, but at least enough that it's close enough that you can understand that and relate to people that can give you a great testimony and case study on how they've been able to help them get a return on their investment. So that's key, is just doing your vetting process like you would with anyone else. You need to know it's a professional organization that has the experience under their belt to help you in your particular industry.
Does that mean that you would have somebody working one-on-one very closely with your organizations? Because many organizations would be quite complex and you'd have to literally learn what it is that they're offering.
Absolutely. And it would depend on what you're looking for the call center to take on. For example, if it's inbound and you want customer service, call center take on your inbound customer service, there's going to be a whole bunch of time invested in that call center partnership to create the workforce and workflow for your inbound customer support. The other side of that, if it's a lead generation or appointment setting or direct sales campaign, you would have to think about it in such a way, what are your sales processes today that you're doing internally, whether for yourself or inside sales already, that you could say, I have it packaged now, or I'm going to help package what I'm currently doing so that I could hand that package right over electronically to my partner and say, now let's sit down and train your people the way that I would train my people, or train your people the way that I self-taught myself to do this job. So it's a partnership. You are buying a partnership. You are not buying bodies only. You're not buying seats only. You're not buying labor only or hours and resources. You're actually buying into a partnership, and it requires somebody to manage. No question about that.
And that's a big takeaway for anybody who's on the call today listening to this and are interested in getting into this space, getting this assistance from somebody like Kathy, that you need to come in there with eyes open and, you know, I guess with an open book, to be willing to share your business and the details so that you can give that ultimate end experience to your customers.
Cool.
So with your business now, are you global? This is a global service. Anybody can use it. What types of businesses are using this service?
Well, again, we work with Fortune 500s and also down to entrepreneurs and startup organizations. We tend to work with people who are not yet necessarily startup bootstrapped. There's a cost associated with hiring a professional call center. So we are an American-based call center, so we are not very inexpensive. We do have 30 years under our belt, and we are professionals. So we hire as such. So we have great inside sales representatives working with us, both on the customer service side and inside sales side. So if you can afford a position, so, you know, you have the funds available to say, I can budget for this person, whether it was inside or outside, then you have a budget available for working with a professional call center. That's first and foremost. So it is a partnership, though, and it does take a lot. It's we work with pretty much, if you name an industry, we've probably worked with them before, but our focus today is really Fortune 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we're going to work with smaller or mid-sized companies, we're talking about trade associations, e-commerce companies, digital marketers, digital agencies, the media companies, publishers. Those are some of our niches that we're working with today.
Thank you again. There seems to be nowadays a somewhat of a shift away from traditional employment for many people. They want to do exactly what you've done. They'll start off small. I really just want to hone in on this and your experience again to maybe help them understand some of the early ways that you would have gone through, techniques that you would have used to generate your early sales. Could you share a little bit about that side of it with us?
The sales on early on?
Yeah, for yourself, how you started to go about this process so that we can help the My Future Business audience.
Sure. And it really boils down to picking up the telephone and not being shy to say, this is what we've done with client number one, and this is why we believe we can help you to grow your company, because we have case study client number one mm-hmm. to work with. So it takes time. It takes energy. It takes going through fear. It does take picking up the phone and talking to people. Obviously, email marketing is a very wonderful way to warm up those conversations, but you have to talk to people. And if that's your local community because you're more comfortable there, that's fine. Get out into your community and start having conversations. But once you've landed your first customer, take that experience, bottle it up in such a way that you could articulate it in a very friendly, non-salesy manner, mm-hmm. just to have a conversation like you would with a friend over coffee, and tell the story. And once you're able to articulate your story, then people will be attracted to that story and they'll say, you know what, I can use that too. And then you will garner client number two yep. and number three. So it's really about relationships and storytelling and sharing your successes.
And you know, that what's coming through for me is the level of authenticity that you have. I think this is a core ingredient. You can't be in something unless you're really into it. Can you?
Exactly right. You cannot. The whole fake it till you make it is a bunch of nonsense. It is a bunch of nonsense. I think that you do have to work through your fear. And sometimes there's a fine line between working through your fear and being like, oh, I can't, you know, I'm a real go-getter and I'm real confident, because we're not confident. You know, I could tell you right now, if I picked up the phone to call you today, a cold call to you, which I'm very comfortable doing, yeah. I'd still have a butterfly in my stomach because I wouldn't know exactly what I was saying today. So we all have to work through that, but authenticity does come through, and that's really where you need to be. And work from that.
And those butterflies are actually a good sign, aren't they?
Yes, indeed.
If you didn't have them. I wonder, you know, there seems to be this massive shift towards video nowadays. Is this yes. something that your organization, I guess, deals with, uses?
Well, that's a great question. And the way that we use it currently is having video conference calls right now with our clients. Mm-hmm. We are not yet tapped into it on the technology side of our end user. But I could tell you right now, we are vetting vendors mm-hmm. currently, because it is one of our progress initiatives for 2019. So we are adding on so that we have every bell and whistle that you could possibly imagine that will be one of the core offerings for 2019 and 2020. So it's a great time. It's a great question. It needs to happen because people do want to know, you know, if I call and I'm using this phone, an iPhone or other, mm-hmm. you know, go ahead and shoot me the video right now. Let's live face and tell yep. me about the problem you're having with that tire or that whatever, that yep. telephone, whatever it is. And so you could troubleshoot with them right on the phone.
It is a wonderful thing, just like we're talking now. It's just so powerful just to get that feeling of authenticity that I've just mentioned earlier. I wonder, Kathy, what's coming up for you next? What's happening in the immediate future for you?
Wow, that's meaning as far as our own individual growth for Kathy Karabetsas and our company?
It could be your business, could be your podcast, could be your travels.
Okay, well, for Kathy Karabetsas, my travels is I am going to go away before I become a grandmother. I'm going to be 52. 52 years old this year, and I'm going to be a grandmother for the very first time come October.
Oh, congratulations.
So much is the biggest joy of my life. I cannot wait. So I'm going to have a little grandson in October. So my husband and I are traveling with our four mm-hmm. youngest to summer. And I'm super looking forward to that. From a business standpoint, you know, people say, I've had people say this all the time, Kathy, you've done this for such a long time. You've been in it for 3 decades. You have 7 children. You're successful. When are you selling the business? And I keep on saying, stop. I have nothing to do with that conversation. My next step is 10xing my company. I tell everybody I am just getting started. I am just warming up. My goodness, in 5 years from now, my youngest will be off to college. What we'll have to do, but continue to build my company. So I'm as excited, if not more excited, about my company today than I was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm stopping this girl. That's for sure.
That's absolutely wonderful. You know, you're an inspiration. You're a treat to speak with. And I just like to know a little bit now about the GCSSINC.com website. When somebody comes to your website, what is the process that they will expect to see?
Well, basically, you take a look at, if you're specifically in the niches that we're catering to more, but take a look at what you're looking for. Are you looking for outbound or inbound? It's very simple. Our industry is in two categories. You are either attraction marketing, you have inbound customer support, and you want all the social media bells and whistles and help there on your inbound attraction marketing, or you need lead generation from cold calling to following up on your leads, whatever that looks like, and making outbound telephone calls, nurturing relationships to generate new and consistent business. So you take a look at our website, which direction do you need to go to, contact us is available, fill out the form. You will have a phone call within minutes from us, and we will leave you a message, and we'll also send you an email, and every form of communication that you possibly leave with us, we'll communicate with you to make sure that we are practicing what we are preaching. So it's really important when somebody raises their hand and said, I'd love to talk to you. It needs to be now. In today's world, no one waits for anyone.
No.
So if you reach out to QCSS today, you should have a call or an email, some type of response within minutes from us.
Thank you again, Kathy. I want to just share with everybody that I will be making the links back to Kathy's business below this post. And Kathy, I'd just like to say thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
It has been my pleasure and honor. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.